God's will is not only that you be saved, but Spirit-filled. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. So then, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. Aphron, to be unthinking, to be ignorant, to be destitute of knowledge, to be simple-minded. That's the idea. Don't be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you don't understand the will of the Lord, what are you? Foolish, ignorant, might even say stupid. You say, that's pretty strong language. It is. Because the will of God is not lost, it is not obscure, it is not hidden. If you do not understand what the will of the Lord is, then you are just simple-minded. You're just ignorant. Because if you keep reading, he'll tell you what it is. Here it is, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, asotia, excess, but be filled with the Spirit. All right, secondly, his will is that you be Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. First of all, God's will is that you be saved. That is clear. That is crystal clear. His will, secondly, is that you not operate in ignorance and foolishness, but that you understand that God's will is that you be filled with the Holy Spirit rather than being drunk with wine and conducting yourself in a dissipated way. Why is that comparison there? Because the issue here is control. The issue here is control. Filled is plerao in the Greek, and it has the idea of filling in a controlling sense, not filling in a static sense, like wind filling the sails of a ship, moving it along. A way to translate this would be, allow yourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I can give you a number of illustrations of how this word is used that carries that meaning. In John 16 and verse 6, the statement is made, sorrow has filled your heart. Sorrow has filled your heart. What that means is sorrow has taken over control. If you say someone is a little bit sad, that's one thing. If you say they are filled with sorrow, you simply mean that they have lost the ability to balance out their sorrow with positive thoughts or good thoughts or hopeful thoughts. And they have literally succumbed to the dominating power of sorrow. In Luke 6:11, it talks about being filled with madness. Being filled means totally controlled by and dominated by madness. You've lost all ability to balance off the experience and emotional response with some sense of reason, and you're filled with madness. Or in Luke 4, verse 28, it talks about being filled with wrath. You no longer can control your anger and have a moderation of hostility. You've lost it completely, and you've gone off into a rage. Or in Luke 5, 26, you have the idea of being filled with fear, where fear so totally dominates you that your ability to find hope and sanity in the midst of a terrifying situation is forever, or for that moment anyway, gone. And so to be filled with fear or anger or madness or sorrow, or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, means to be so dominated by that force as to be under its complete control. That's the idea. Now, he compares it to being drunk. Alcohol is a controlling substance. When a person becomes drunk, they have abandoned sanity. They have abandoned reason. They have lost the ability to control their behavior, their speech, their emotion, their mind. They have come under the control of that drug. And by the way, in Ephesus, they did this on purpose. In the ancient world, this is one of the ways that they worshiped the false gods, through drunkenness, gluttony, and sexual orgies. This is what they did in the worship of Dionysius in Ephesus. Paul says, you're not going to get to God that way, but you are if you're filled with, controlled by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, we all possess the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit, he's none of his, Romans 8, 9. We all possess the Spirit. We've all been given the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who came to dwell within us at the time of our salvation, but we're not always controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's the critical thing to understand. Let's look back at Ephesians 5 and see what it means. As I said, there aren't any lights that go on, there aren't any buzzers, there aren't any manifest feelings of the Spirit's filling in your life, so there's nothing you can look at physiologically or experientially to identify this, but there are some results of it. If you're filled with the Spirit, verse 19, you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. All of a sudden, you're lost in wonder, love, and praise and dominated by worship. Not only that, your heart is thankful, verse 20. You're giving thanks for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. You're just overwhelmed with thankfulness. No matter what's going on in your life, you're just literally filled with praise. Also, verse 21, you're subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's a dominating humility that comes into your life that makes you submit yourself to those around you. If you're a wife, you're subjected to your husband willingly and gladly. If you're a husband, you're loving your wife. And he goes on to describe that. Chapter 6, verse 1, if you're a Spirit-filled child, you're obeying your parents. If you're Spirit-filled parents, you're not provoking your children to anger. If you're a Spirit-filled slave or servant or employee, you're obedient to your masters as if to Christ. If you're a Spirit-filled master, then you're going to do the things to your employees that honor the true master, the Lord Himself. These are all the behaviors that flow out of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is very interesting and very important. A life of worship, a life of humility, a life of joy, a life made right in the family, a life made right in the environment of the world where you work and serve. Everything finds its appropriate place when you are totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's not mystical. Let me show you a passage, Colossians 3:16. This will give you a comparison that'll explain what it means to be filled with the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit. Verse 16, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." Plousios in the Greek, extravagantly. It's a big word. It's a lavish word. Let the word of Christ extravagantly, lavishly dwell within you. And now watch the results. With all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual song, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Exactly the same results come from this as came from being filled with the Spirit. Only this is let the Word of Christ lavishly dwell in you. And what's going to happen? Worship and praise and gladness and thankfulness. Whatever you do, you're going to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're going to give thanks to Him, verse 17. Wives are going to subject themselves to their husbands. Husbands are going to love their wives. Children obey their parents. Fathers are going to not exasperate their children. Slaves or servants are going to obey their masters. And chapter 4, verse 1, masters are going to be just and fair. You see, you get the exact same results, two causes. Ephesians, filled with the Spirit. Here, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The conclusion, same thing. What does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit? It means to be dominated by the Word. The Word is inseparable from the Spirit. The Spirit is the author of Scripture. He is the author. He is the interpreter. He is the applier. He is the enabler of His own Word. So when we talk about being Spirit-filled, we're talking about being controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit controls us when we're saturated with the truth, when we're saturated with the Word. When the Word dominates us, the Spirit controls us. The Word takes hold of our mind. The Word takes hold of our emotions. Then the Word takes hold of our will. Nothing mystical. This isn't something that happens to you when you have an esoteric experience. This doesn't come because you spoke in tongues or somebody laid hands on you and you fell over backwards. Being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit will control you by applying the Word of God to your life, and you cannot apply what you do not know. And so you become lavishly enriched with divine truth, which then becomes the controlling truth by which the Spirit directs you toward the will of God. God's will, what is it? That you be saved and Spirit-filled. Before you say, "Oh God, what girl should I marry?" or "Oh God, what guy should I marry?" or "Should I go there? Or should I go here? Do this or do that?" These are the questions that are more foundational. God's will is that you be saved and Spirit-filled.
Now we want to hear from you. gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog.